Because it is sometimes so unbelievable, the truth escapes becoming known. This is Radio Freeman, coming to you from Austin, Texas, and dreamlands beyond. Defines our world. Many of us that continually look into this question find that it's actually imagination that defines our world. We find that the very mechanisms being used against us are those to program our imagination. Now, the masters of imagination programming are the intelligence operatives. And these are the ones that I continually highlight in my works, in my films, and on my writings. Because our world is actually controlled by the intelligence agencies. I don't know how this happened. Well, alright, I do. It's amazing to look at if you realize that HW, head of the CIA, is put in as President of the United States. Now, where? What rationale leads to this? How is it that we can just stand by and allow the head of the spooks be in charge of the country? It's just ludicrous. And the people to sit back and think, oh, well, you know, I elected him. He was the best selection out there. Is this the case? I think not. You do a deep study into these intelligence agencies, and you continually come back to occultic groups as well. And if we realize that it's not just America, but Putin is KGB, Blair is MI6, I mean, come on. What planet do you think you're living on? So the reality that we get programmed into us by the media streams and all of the nefarious doings of these villainous creatures is staggering. I mean, truly, our entire reality has been programmed into us from the very beginning of civilization. We're going to look deep and deep into this picture on this radio show, and I want to just take this time, this first show of mine, to introduce myself and the concepts that I'll be thinking about and what we'll be looking into on Radio Freeman. you begin here. You begin right with this concept that we are completely controlled in our very imaginations. That the things that we think, the concepts that we have put before us, have been put before us by a particular group. Many of the things that we consider just normal and common consequence of human evolution, human productivity, we believe that it's actually supposed to be like this. All my life I've wondered why, with so many nice loving people around, that the world seems so evil. Why is it that when we look at the world, at the people around us, we don't see people that want to kill us, maim us, abuse us, or any of these type of evil acts? We run into people that are kind, courteous, friendly at least. Certainly, the world has been generating a bit of an attitude, but you got to realize that this is in the programming. So as we look to our programming masters, we first look to, you know, Hollywood and the television set, because this is the main form of brainwashing known to us at this time. We'll come to realize that all of these TV stations are owned by five corporations, owned by five people, and that all of them that I could find stem right back up to the Freemasons. For example, the Radio City Corporation of America, or Radio Corporation of America, the RCA, started by Freemason Sarnoff, and he gave us what we know today as our radio stations, and is still in charge of things today, and is the sponsor for Space Mountain at Walt Disney. If you look at what happens when you come off of Space Mountain at Walt Disney, it is the very programming that I'm speaking of, as these Freemasons of RCA and Walt Disney come forward to tell you what your future is going to be. It's much easier to predict the future when you're creating it. So I myself have just been one that seemed to have slipped through the noose of the indoctrination programming. For some reason, I grew up on a planet that seems to be entirely different than the one I see everyone else on around me. This is a very curious thing to me. Certainly the things that I look at are the same newspaper articles that other people are looking at, but for some reason we're coming to completely different perspectives on the whole thing. For example, in Y2K, I'm a conspiracy theorist that goes way back, so, well, you know, for my age anyway, I go back far enough. I certainly remember Guyana and a few other atrocities that occurred. But leading up into Y2K, I was already well into my alternative history and starting to understand what was going on with these fellows, or getting some idea of the fact that they're occultic, ritualistic bastards. I mean, that was really the thing that was starting to astound me. And I was working at Kansas University at the time, around 1999, and I served pizza, by the way, if you're curious. It was great, because my patrons were the lawyers, the future lawyers and the future engineers were my patrons, and so I'd bring in all this documentation. I used to have quite an X-file. If I ever had any idea that I was going to end up sitting here talking with you guys or having a TV show or any of these things that has happened to me, I certainly would have kept that darn X-file. Because, boy, there was some really good stuff in there. But I had really moved on from it. Let me finish my story of KU. Because it was quite intriguing for me because I would bring these people information, and at that time I was starting to really get deep into HAARP and chemtrails, and and the Masonic, well, when everybody was saying, "Oh my God, they gotta fix all the computers, and we're gonna have a meltdown," and I was saying, "But wait, they're capping the Great Pyramid with gold. I mean, what are you thinking?" Yeah, of course they're. Whatever they want is what's going to happen, and that's what's symbolized by the capping of the Great Pyramid with gold. And people would go, "Oh, Freeman." And it's curious because next thing I know, here comes the headline: "Muslims stop the Freemasons from capping the Great Pyramid with gold." And that's the headline on the USA Today as I'm signing in to pizza at KU, and so I pass this along and. They don't know what to think of it, because this reality is so strange for them. Even though I'd been prepping them with all kinds of information, they didn't know how to handle what that was saying. But wait, why does that really matter? Capping the Great Pyramid with gold, having Jean, oh, I forgot his name now, Michel, playing the 12 Dreams of the Sun while, they cast an eye and laser light on the pyramid, and England burns the river Styx at the speed of the sun, and oh, just all the unusual events that went on in the Y2K celebration, say like the making of the sun rise in the west in the DC, and having all the phalluses ignite, and each one of those are Masonic symbols, and it's curious. It's so curious. And they didn't know how to take it. Well, then, I'm bringing them information about HAARP and showing them Nick Begich's work. And they would take it all, you see, and go read it while they were having lunch. So I had the perfect captive audience. And they were really intrigued by it all. And as I can tell, many are. And this is why now I'm out here talking about it. It next thing happens is here comes the headline. Milosevic accuses U.S. of using HAARP technology to cause earthquakes and floods in Iraq. I show this to the engineers and the lawyers, and here it is, right on their front page newspaper, you see, because when I would bring them documentation from the internet, they would go, "Oh, well, that's the internet. You can get anything you want off the internet," and that's one of the most common forms of denial. But when I can bust it through with one of their seemingly, it's so backwards because here they feel that this is the truth and it's printed in this newspaper, and oh, people. Well, they looked at that article, Milosevic accusing us of causing earthquakes and floods, and they said, "Oh, well, he's just saying that." It's like, oh my God, what am I to do? So I really reached a point where I no longer was really concerned with beating the specifics into people's minds. You go through stages as a conspiracy theorist for sure, and you start to come around, and you move up through your levels. You're like, "Oh, the CFR. Oh, wait a minute, the Trilateral Commission. Wait, Skull and Bones, CIA, NSA, Space Command." That was another good one. And on up, and then you get to Jesuit, Freemason, Rosicrucian, Theosophist. Wait a minute, now what's going on? Occultism, Kabbalism, fallen angels. Boy, this thing just gets stranger and stranger. But yet it fits all the known evidence. Well, let's just keep having a look, and we go through our levels. So creative play is the name of the game, and that's really where we should be at. We don't need to be focusing our minds on financial institutions. Hell, I don't even know what a 401k is. If we all got back to the human dream, this is our true salvation. This is what will get us free. And it's our very dream world that we can create. The opposite side of my life, along with all of the conspiracy theory and all of the unusual things that I've looked at, you know, the ancient monuments and just concepts that most people, you know, what we consider fringe, of course, have always intrigued me. But on the other side of my life, the other level that I've really come to love and know is this synchronistic universe that we live in. I actually, you know, I don't claim to have gone looking for any of the information that I bring forth. It has all come looking for me. The universe selected me to know this stuff. I didn't want to know any of the things that I've, you know, they certainly intrigued me, but I didn't go, oh, you know, I wonder who the Freemasons are. It was the, here came somebody and brought it to my attention, and then the universe would provide more and more information. I would turn on a TV or a radio show, or I never knew where it would come from, but the information would continue to fill in. And I have this other side of life that is based on creative play and synchronicity. And I really didn't have an explanation for it. I didn't have a way of passing this knowledge on to others. I would, you know, well, it simply happens. What could I tell you? I was known as the luckiest person many people knew. It was unbelievable to them that anything that I needed, anything that I everything came my way. I mean, not in any great fortune or any such way as we would want or divine or designed by ourselves, you see. This was me just giving myself to the whims of the universe. I just strolled the earth and allowed what to be. And life unfolded before me, and the most unusual events have occurred to me, and I have seen things and done things that most people have not. I have a perspective that goes beyond common perspectives because I have been, well, I've lived in every state in the United States, and I've met tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people. I have had a unique experience here on planet Earth. And it's all due to creative play, and it's this love force synchronicity that guides it, and I allow it to. I allow the things. I would actually consider Forrest Gump as a idol, an icon to follow. Just allowing the universe to present you with ideas, concepts, and then follow upon them. That's the true essence of life. And that's the path that we can follow, the one that you can trust, that will lead you to a better place, a better perspective. I've been asked as to why is it that if I look at all this stuff and I know of all this evil doings, why is it that I'm not freaked out? People at Y2K thought I'd be in a bunker, and I thought I was being quite rational. I certainly wasn't in a bunker, but how can I, you know, they want to know, how is it that you can stay in a positive light when you're looking at such evil deeds? And the truth of it is that I know of this higher order, what I consider my guardian angel, that guides my life forward. I do expect the shit to hit the fan, you know? This isn't something I think we're going to avoid. I mean, come on, these same military-industrial complex that we're talking about here, they're 2 miles deep in the earth. I mean, this thing is going to happen, whatever it is they have planned. And really, from the looks of it, and we're going to get into that when I get to Surreality News and coming up after this next song, but there is a project, an agenda going on, and it has a timeline, and it has specific ritual dates that must be followed. And these are the curious notes, and these people are going to go forward with these agendas. There's no stopping this. So what I hope to offer to you is not a way to fight the New World Order, because, you know, that's futile. They're finally right that resistance is futile, but not life, not creative play, you see. To go and want to attack these people or take them down or put your ego out on top of them, this is not the answer. This is not, we are not fighting Big Brother. What we need to do is change our entire reason for existence, to focus on a new dream, on a new imagination, and start to bring forth the human element into life. And it really is out there. And so at this point, my job is to convince you that humans are good. And I'm competing with these CIA agents on Anderson Cooper and Larry King Live to try and bring forth to you that the world isn't this evil, horrific place, that it's this one group, and then now all their brainwashed minions that are causing it. And then also on top of all this, that humans are wondrous creatures and wonderful creatures, and there is actually a higher faith that can lead us. And I don't need a religion. I don't need any of those things. I found this higher power through my own love and intuition. It has nothing to do with any sort of book or prophet or anything, because the universe is speaking to me directly. And as I've followed it, it has continually shown me that this is the way and the only true path, that you just follow what God brings before you. And if you can forgive that term, you just follow this life energy force that you have before you, and love and take care of your neighbor, as all of the great prophets have said, and life unfolds for you in a fantastic manner that you could have never imagined, that you could not have designed. I mean, certainly I didn't expect to be hanging out with a Bilderberger talking about the end of the world and the idea of killing off 2/3 of the population while he decided that he wanted to talk with the Palladians, and I end up with a TV show from that. That's just, you know, it's the things that have been presented before me that give me the clues, and it is that which I have faith in. And if the magicians have the ability to generate what happens in a synchronistic fashion in my world, then the Matrix is whole, and you know, I don't know the way out, but I don't believe they do have that power. As a matter of fact, I think the fact that a Bush and a Dick running our country at this point is a God joke. You know, that's the way the universe speaks to us, because these are the very symbols we're looking at. You know, the hexagram, the Jewish star, the Kabbalistic symbol Britney Spears was wearing. You know, that's the feminine and male. This is the Bush and the Dick, right? And a target sun symbol, the point within a circle. This is the Bush and the Dick. When you're looking at all of these things, I mean, these guys are into hermaphroditic symbols. But yet, did they plan out to have a Bush and a Dick running the country? I can't believe that they did. And to me, this is the universe speaking to you. This is God's sense of humor. And this is where I find I exist. And so, therefore, I can chuckle at this stuff. I mean, I also have a sense of eternity. You know, I believe myself to be eternal. I'm not so fearful of death. Dying, yeah, maybe, but death, no. I don't believe that my energy will be dissipated and that I'll be lost into nothingness. But, you know, the only thing that's concerned with that is the ego, and you know, we'll get into that later. So creative play in our imagination is the way out, and this is what I offer. And really, to look at the conspiracy theories and these type of nature is really just so that you can turn away from these, well, civilization is so that you can turn away from you, so that you can stop investing your time and effort into forwarding this agenda. Alright, let's go to a little music while you digest all of this. If you like that opening song, that was my friend, my good friend, you can go to ripadip.com and listen to that. Here's a little super train. I can see it now. Three little boys standing out on the playground. One looking forward and saying, "I want to be president." The other one stepping up saying, "I want to be an astronaut." And the third following with, "I want to be a millionaire." Ah, oh, yes, our dreams. And I see an old man stand before them and say, "Well, don't worry, boys. I can help you with that." We cut to a lodge door as the poor little boys are dressed up in pajamas with the pant leg rolled up and her sleeve pulled down and a sword pressed against their chest, and they sit there before this top-hatted worshipful master, and he says, "All right, now you can be an astronaut, a millionaire, or the president. Yes, as long as you give me your oath." And you see these little boys going, "Binding myself under no less penalty than to have my throat cut across and my tongue ripped out by its roots." Ah, not quite the same picture that we think we see. I mean, do you really believe that computers were designed in people's garages? I mean, do you think that Macintosh chose the symbol of the original sin just out of chance, that these guys that... Oh, reality is not what we think it is. So let's move to surreality in the news. I mean, come on now. Here comes Fife Symington, the governor of Arizona, to announce to us, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, back in 1997, there were the Phoenix Lights. Now, I was watching, of course. I was very intrigued by this. A craft that seemed to be the size of a football field hanging out over Phoenix, Arizona for a few days in 1997. And thousands of people witness it. And then what do we have? We have the governor come before you, Fife Symington, and he says, well, yeah, I came to address this, and I want to bring the accused before you. And he brings out his chief of staff, dressed as a gray alien, with his fingers all up by his big alien head. And the governor says, don't let him get too close. And he looks at this audience that's been questioning, you know, what is this craft that's before us? And he says, ah, ha, 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 I just wanted to show you, you are all taking it too seriously. Oh, well, now he comes out and says, well, wait a minute, all right. You know what, I lied to you beforehand. Actually, I didn't want you to be frightened, so instead I ridiculed you. And now I want to come out and tell you, well, yeah, actually it was an alien craft that we saw. You know, it was otherworldly, he says. Here's this giant craft floating over Arizona. But I felt the need to lie to you so that you wouldn't panic. I felt the need to ridicule you so that you wouldn't panic. Is this what we want from our leaders? And why now, right? Why come out now? We've got this big O'Hare flap, this flying saucer everyone saw in O'Hare, which happened to fall on the date that I predicted for the next shock and awe, which is a conjunction of Venus and Mercury. And now we have the governor, Fife Symington, coming forward and say, oh, it was an alien craft. There's no possible way that this could be an American or any sort of military craft. Tchah. Oh, people, we are so confused at this point, you know? We don't know what to believe. Are there aliens? Aren't there aliens? Is this a plot to bring forth this Project Bluebeam? Are we watching now as they prepare for the fake invasion? Well, very well could be. I don't think that was an alien craft. I think that was a military anti-gravity technology. I think that he's coming forward now with this, along with the French releasing all of their UFO knowledge, to start prepping us for this invasion that they are setting up for us. Surreality in the news. Well, all right. I suppose if I don't touch upon the Anna Nicole autopsy, I would not be up my ilk here. Definitely, I'm not ready to give you my full synopsis of this scene going on now. But as long as we're working on surreality in the news, let's have a thought about this now. I'm watching Larry King live as he interviews Dr. Perper and a few other notables like Cyril White. And I'm astounded, you know, because I of course have witnessed the Illuminati Part 2 by Enigma TV. And I don't know if you guys have watched my video on Anna Nicole, Brittany, and Mind Control. But what we see is Larry King and Bill Clinton in Illuminati Part 2. Well, first of all, Bill Clinton in a hypnotic trance or as a trauma-based mind control slave. And this is followed by Larry King telling him, well, you know, working for Rupert Murdoch is a really great thing. So get in touch with him when you're elected, you know. Because they know who's going to be elected. This is all set up. I mean, 51% of our presidents have belonged to a single fraternity, the Freemasons. When we had two Skull and Bones running for the presidency, I mean, what are you thinking, people? Can you realize what's going on here? So as I'm watching Larry King live and he's discussing that this was simply a drug overdose and that, it was just amazing. Cyril White, you know, he has been indicted on 84 counts of trading cadavers for office space. What? And he was the one involved with the JonBenet Ramsey murder, death, whatever you want to call it. To me, this is just more of the same. That JonBenet Ramsey is a classic case of what they do to these poor children and how they sell them off to the Illuminati. And it is very much due to this dream that they have given us that people would do such a thing. Oh, that poor girl. And then Cyril White comes out and says, oh, no, you know, no foul play. Oh, then Cyril White comes out for Anna Nicole and says, oh, no, no, no foul play. And Cyril White comes out for Daniel Smith, her son. Oh, no, no foul play. I mean, why? They couldn't find some other guy, some other pathologist that didn't have these other high-level satanic ritual abuse crimes under his belt? That didn't have, hadn't traded off 84 bodies for laboratory space. They can't find some other guy. So here we're watching Larry King, who obviously is involved in all this, if you watch the Illuminati Part 2. And we watch Cyril White and this whole charade of these people trying to tell us what actually happened. Now, definitely they were... It was as if they had read my article, and I wonder, you know, because those video clips that they presented into the courtroom, the inadmissible evidence, the video clip of Anna Nicole saying that her family raped, beat her, abused her, the video clip of her dressed as a clown, speaking as a four-year-old child, these both were inadmissible in court, but yet were both shown to us. And I continually wonder if this was a plan to bring somebody like me out into the front to see how I put the pieces together and then go back and cover their tracks. Because as I watched the Larry King Live about the autopsy just yesterday, they absolutely were covering all the points that I had brought out. They had covered up the ideas that I had brought forth to you, and I'll get more into this next week. But if we're surreal, folks, so surreal. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. Everybody on there, Anderson Cooper, you know, he's CIA. I mean, it's like watching the CIA channel. And if you look at, of course, I link this all back to Disney and Disney World. And if you look at the CNN logo, you'll see that, you know, if you understand these magicians and their ways of doing their symbolism, and you flip the mirror image, because they love these mirrored images, and you flip CNN around, you will see that it says WD, you know, Walt Disney Productions here. Oh, we're going to get deeper into this next week. I want to cover a lot of this. But I want to review all the tapes and make sure I got my facts straight. Just realize that this is all programming. This is all a matter of controlling your dream, your vision, and that their most intense goal, the thing that they want the most out of you, is to believe that there is no hope, to believe that you can't change anything, and to believe that they've got the ultimate power. And this, you can see by their efforts, by their constant barrage of propaganda, that this isn't the truth, that this is what they need you to believe, and that they have to go through all this effort to control your imagination. Because it is our dream that creates reality, so they're the ones that create our dream. Simple as that.
Send me.
Life can be a dream. Those that have come before me to speak to you about creative play, well, they've ended up in unmarked graves as well. One that comes to mind is Federico Garcia Lorca. He wrote a great play called Yerma, which tried to express the idea that you don't have to try, you don't have to work at these things, that actually if you play, then the things that you need and you want come forth. And this has been my methodology. I didn't think about it. I didn't consider it. I just simply went with it. I had a large imagination and a big dream that I wanted to fulfill. I wanted to see the world and meet all of you and go and just enjoy planet Earth. And I think that's really what all of us want. But we're lost in this illusion. We're lost in the Maya. We are stuck in our cubicles. It's been a dream of mine to restart the Merry Pranksters and have a huge drum entourage come booming into your corporate head office and see how many of you we can pull away from your chains and get you to dance and sing and just start dancing in the streets. You know? Because really, that's all it takes. And once you find that, once you release yourself from this operation mindfuck, because I can't think of anything else to call it, then you'll find that we are actually free. And you'll also discover that we've been raised in captivity and that this rational, logical world that has been presented to us is a farce. That it doesn't exist, and that the ones that are presenting it to us don't live within that reality. And this is why I cover these high occultic rituals, to show you their motives and their methodology, because life is not rational and logical and step-by-step A to B process. It absolutely has a miraculous, magical, and mystical side to it, if it's not the entire thing, right? Because really, the entire thing is mystical, magical, and miraculous. This is what my life has shown and what it has proven to me, and now I hope to help you glean a little bit of that reality into your manufactured reality, so that perhaps we can escape. You know, like I was saying earlier, I really didn't think that we were going to get out of the storm, because, you know, these guys do have underground city, a metropolis below us, and they do have high technology and all these crazy things that they can do. I mean, really, they, all right, I'm going to call them have the ability to generate what they have been projecting into your brains as revelations. They have the ability to cause earthquakes, floods, storms, plague, even to have you hear words in your head and see things that aren't there. They have all this ability. So they're going to regenerate your dream. And with this power, then they will manufacture our new dream. Yay! Aren't these guys wonderful? But there is a living dream. There really is. And now synchronicity, it can't be proven to you. I can't tell you that you will fall into the perfect situation that's going to lead you to the next perfect situation. I can't make you believe that. Well, certainly it's not been part of the indoctrination, and therefore it's not part of our environment. We don't see it. But yet, I have experienced it time and time and time again, and many of you have as well. And the methodology of finding this reality, this true reality, the mystical, the magical, and the miraculous, is love. And this is the path that we must take. And this is the only answer. It's the only answer that will work. And so as we start to find this love, and we start to love the miraculous life that we exist in, then things start to occur. Now, over time, I'm going to give you different stories of things that have occurred to me that just elaborate this very idea, because my life has been anything, has been miraculous. Yeah, I am continually amazed. I mean, even as it becomes almost commonplace for me to have miracles happen in my life, it still amazes me every time. And it's funny, when I slip off a little bit and I start to get a little, I get frightened. I definitely have my moments of doubt. And my friends, they laugh at me. You know, they're like, "But Freeman, come on now. You are the one that taught us. You're the one that showed us synchronicity and how all of this works. And now you're gonna have fear? Come on." And they're right. They're absolutely right. And as soon as I move away from that, everything falls into place and everything I need comes along. And I never ask for more than what I need. I honestly, you know, I don't have very much at all. Anything that I have of worth, my mom gave to me. And anything that I, you know, my food just comes as I need it. It was funny, I was giving a lecture at the bookstore, and I mentioned this, that, you know, I don't know where my next meal comes from, and this is where I want to be, because that's where the miraculous exists, and that's where a beautiful angel friend, you know, a person that I don't know, that will step forth and bring me to their backyard to have this massive organic buffet that they have spread out for all the world, or whoever is fortunate enough to have miracles in their lives and step into this and eat such divine food. And I had a fellow come up, a Christian, of course, and hand me $3. And, oh, I chuckled at that. Because, you know, you guys think that this is, well, you know, maybe not you, but this guy certainly and many others, and most that haven't come to recognize the miraculous in life, think that I would need this $3 in order to go and buy me a McDonald's or something. I don't know where he thought I might eat with $3, but you know, it's that money. Money was a crafty spell, and if you look at it, you know, of course it has no reality, no basis in reality. It's a piece of paper, but yet it's been given this power, and it is our imagination that was used to give this thing power. And the dollar bill is nothing but an occultic pentacle. It's a spell that was cast upon humanity to turn you away from the miraculous. So now you no longer believe in this miracle life. Now what we've got is this spell, the dollar bill, this that we no longer go looking for the deer in the field waiting for us to eat it, or the plant that miraculously comes before us, or the human that steps forth to say, "I have this beautiful meal for you." Now we go chain ourselves to a cubicle staring at some monitor so that we can get these magical notes in order to supply us with our Mickey D's. Can we get back to it? Can we get back to a human civilization? Well, I hate to use the word civilization. What I really mean is society. And what I really see is a tribe of humans existing together. And we can do that. And if you want to experience just a tad bit of that, of the human environment and what it's really like, I highly recommend going out to the Rainbow Gathering, because this was one of my first stepping outs, and the Rainbow has been a miracle in my life many times. And the miraculous happens out there is commonplace. You can think about a thing, and next thing you know, there it is before you. Or you don't even have to think about a thing, and there it is before you. Like, oh, I didn't even know that I wanted to learn that. I didn't even know I wanted to experience this. And here it is. Within within a human society, the miraculous continually happens, and this is what's amazing, and this is what's been usurped. This is what's been taken away from us, is that humans generate the miraculous, and this is what makes us so special. You see, this is where our abilities come from, is that we actually generate the miraculous. We are angelic beings. We are mystical and magical. So as you go out in the rainbow and you see that human existence is actually designed, it encompasses food. That food is number one in the human environment. And the sheer beauty of just simply being, of simply taking care of those needs that are in the here and now. You know, not considering a 401k. That was the strangest meme I had seen presented, because all of a sudden I heard everybody talking about this thing, and I still don't know what it is, and everybody wants it. All of a sudden everybody wants it. Everybody's considering it. Oh, I need this. What the hell is it? And of course it's a way of furthering these Illuminati dreams, these Illuminati programs into your reality. We don't need any of that. It's your future is set. But as long as we let this military, industrial, magical, and complex control our realities, then yeah, maybe you do need a 401k. But, well, you know, I'm looking here at getting around to my last 5 minutes on the show. And, you know, I always get a bit stumbly here when it gets down to the last few minutes, because I want to conclude. I want to give you a final statement, a final ideas to consider before we leave until next week. And it is this concept of the magical, mystical, and miraculous that I want to leave with you. And I don't know how to instill the belief in this in you. I will cover this topic again and again, because I think it's the most critical thing in our lives, to recognize that the universe is actually working in our favor, and that the Illuminati is not. And they continued not to. And this concept that has been bred into us, this captivity, this zoo that we live in, if you realize that we are merely living in a zoo and have been bred into captivity, and that if you're wondering why your dorsal fin is dropping by your side, this is it, folks. We live in SeaWorld. We live in human world. And it has been just a fabrication. The dream exists. It's out there. It's for you. It's right there around you. What it requires is for your brain to be able to imagine it. And as soon as you do, it all will change. That's all it takes. A simple change of thought. A change for your raison d'être. A change for your reason to be. As you start to love your neighbor and love those around you, you will find the miraculous, I promise. So until next week, good night. So long.
That's got everything to do with you. I'm alive.